Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special audio review of Guardians of the Galaxy. And you're with me, Super Marcy, and Miss B Harper.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. I
I'm just starting to dance already.
can't stop remembering.
I can't sing, so that's not good.
Oh, that's never stopped me.
Yes, we are both here to give a review and discuss Guardians of the Galaxy. Just to let everybody know who's listening, I am not very well as it goes, and it's a little bit difficult for me to sit and actually write a review, so just talking about it is easier and manageable, and I'm doing it now, as we're recording, in between like having to babysit. So, yeah.
And meanwhile, I have a psycho with a drill. So we're both in sort of a jam at the moment, so to speak.
Yes, and it is like 2 degrees here in Melbourne, and I'm freezing cold.
She's wearing gloves. She never wears gloves.
I'm actually wearing gloves. I'm freezing. Ugh, cold. Anyway. What's not cold is Guardians of the Galaxy, because that movie is actually like pretty awesomely awesome.
Dare I say, that movie is hot for all the right reasons.
It is. And this is kind of like a big step in a completely different direction for Marvel and their other films, because this one is like it's set in space. We're introduced to a whole new universe, and this is still set in the same like universe as all the other movies. It's just set in space. So there's a whole like lot of other things going on in space, and it just opens up like so many doors and everything, and it kind of connects to the other films. And this is where it's just going to be spoilers because you can't really discuss this movie without spoilers. So spoiler alert, everybody. This one connects because we have Thanos. And I probably said that wrong, but I don't care. He is in this movie and he is indeed portrayed by Josh Brolin, as was announced last week at San Diego Comic-Con. And we did see Thanos at the end like scene, bonus scene, whatever, in the credits of the Avengers. So that really ties them together, if I do say so. And I haven't described anything about the movie, but that's how it is connecting for now. And yeah. What a great description, Marcy.
Oh, you weren't that bad. So basically, Guardians of the Galaxy, as Marcy said, opens up a series of brand new doors for the Marvel franchise. If you ask me, I think it's fantastic that they've gone in this direction, not just like by expanding the continuity, but having a look at all these characters that aren't necessarily as well known as, say, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, and all those. I think with the first theatrical trailer, they sort of played on the notion that nobody knows who the Guardians are, and it adds to the humor of the movie, and it adds to the humor and the charm of the film because this is a brand new slate with all these brand new sort of characters that you don't know that well about, but throughout the film, you start to get to know them and you get to love them.
Yeah, and you also learn about like where things are set, how things are kind of working, how Thanos is like involved, and yeah, there are like quite a few characters in this movie, but I think each of them gets the right amount of time, and we do get to know our main Guardians of the Galaxy pretty well. That I think they actually like connect together really well. There's like a massive amount of chemistry, and without that, it really wouldn't have worked.
Exactly.
And it does start off weird because we sort of see like this young kid listening to his cassette Walkman thingy, whatever you want to call it, as his mother looks like she's dying of cancer, and he runs out really upset and he gets taken up by a spaceship, which we later find out there was a reason for that, which I think may play a part in a future movie. But he grows up, his name is Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, and he grows up to, what sort of job does he do? He doesn't really do a job,
he's more or less a freelancer.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He wants to call himself Star-Lord. Star-Lord, man! Who?
What? never mind.
Yeah, so we're introduced to him first off, and he is out to collect this orb. He doesn't know much about it, and he's intercepted by what we find out are, like, soldiers for this evil dude called Ronan, and they want to basically... He wants to, like, destroy the universe and blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual stuff that bad guys want to do.
All that usual bullshit.
Yeah, we don't know why they need the orb, but Star-Lord basically goes to... He doesn't give it up. He gets away. He wants to try to sell it. He gets rejected, and then he manages to stumble upon Rocket, who's a raccoon, and Groot, who is a tree. And they're sort of like, I don't know, they're like bounty hunters, I guess.
They're basically like brothers from another mother.
they want to collect the bounty that has now been placed on Star-Lord's head. So they all kind of like run into each other, and then there's Gamora, who is on loan to Ronan, I guess, and she said she'll get the orb, but she has her own agenda, so all these characters kind of meet as they get put in jail. They also meet Drax, and then, yeah, they kind of get forced together, all because of the orb, and that is, like, the worst description of a movie ever.
Well, basically, the orb, as we basically call it, it's like the MacGuffin, but what truly matters is the relationship between all these characters and their connections, and also their relationship, if there is some, to the villains, in particular, Gamora and Nebula.
Yes. And
now, Nebula is not a very nice person at all.
No.
In fact, she's kind of a fucking bitch.
She really
and
is,
And I think
actually.
That's the reason why I love her so much.
Yes, that would make sense, because we are always drawn to the villains, and she's a good one, and... As we find out, Nebula and Gamora are sisters, and they are both the daughters of Thanos.
Or rather, the adopted daughters of Thanos.
Yeah, I'm saying his name wrong, I don't care.
Thanos is the ultimate deadbeat father.
He is. I'm just blaming my accent on my mispronunciation of everything. Yes. So it kind of, like, develops how they form a team, how they go... to stop Ronan from getting the orb, and they want to save, what's the thing? The planet Xandar, I think it was? Yes. Run by Nova Prime, who happens to be Glenn Close. Righto. and along the way, they run into, like, some interesting characters, like Michael Rooker, who, pretty much was the guy that picked up Star-Lord when he was a kid. And we had the Collector, played by Benicio Del Toro, who was hinted at the end of Thor: The Dark World.
And he looks just as weird as ever.
Yeah, like, good casting choice.
Phenomenal.
And, like, for somebody that... For me personally, like, I'm really, like, not that familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy. I just had a blast. I loved it. It pulled me in straight away. It introduced, like, this interesting universe, these interesting, you know, villains, and just these amazing characters that I really, really fell in love with, like, straight away. And the fact that despite the, like, they're trying to work together, but they've also kind of got their own agendas and they got to go through, you know, their own issues to actually get through and band together, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
It's good development. Like, you've got Drax played by professional wrestler Dave Bautista, who, upon leaving WWE to promote this movie, he was very much hated by the fans, and that's not really his fault. It has more to do with how they booked him, and the fact that the fans wanted to see someone else on the top. But I think if he does return because of this movie, I think people are going to be more inclined to actually be on his side, because he's really good in this movie. He's, like, really, really, really good. He develops his character really well. And we see him at first as just, like, this big sort of angry dude who just wants revenge for his family's murder at the hands of Ronan. And he doesn't really think about what he's doing, and he kind of gets them into a lot of trouble, but then he does kind of realize what he's doing and how he can sort of put some things behind and band together with the team. So he actually has a really good and interesting story arc, and he's really funny because he doesn't get, like sarcasm, and he takes things, like, literally.
He takes things far too seriously. It's, like, it's kind of scary.
It's like he goes, "That just went right over your head," and he's like, "Nothing can go over my head. I can catch it." He's really good. And then, like, Gamora obviously has a lot of issues because of where she comes from and the fact she doesn't want to see bad things happen. And then you've got Rocket, who I think just has issues that he was, like, created.
I think the thing with Rocket is that he doesn't know he's a raccoon. He doesn't acknowledge that.
No.
Oh, hey, I'm an animal. No, he doesn't even think about that. He just is Rocket.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know. And then, of course, we have Groot. I am Groot. Who just is so awesome. I love Groot so much.
I do find it very, very amusing that Vin Diesel has killed it in two sort of animated or sort of character roles. You have the Iron Giant.
Mm.
Now you have Groot.
And he says is, like, three words, "I am Groot." But he
always puts some sort of different intonation behind
it. Yeah, it's always different when he talks. But the character is just so well done that he's just, like, this sweet, kind, but badass tree.
A tree, yeah. A badass tree.
And then we have Star-Lord Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, who, gosh, he's just really, like, emerged. Like, who would have thought this guy would have, you know, been the star of the Lego Movie, led the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, whoa. And he's going to be, like, he is the lead in Jurassic World, so a lot of big things on the horizon for this man.
Mm. He has a similar sort of thing about him that Chris Evans did.
Yeah.
If you had told me 10 years ago Chris Evans was going to be a really great actor, that he would get a lot of respect, I probably would have said, "What? Really?
He's going to be, like, a really good Captain America. What? Yeah.
Yeah, and this is now, as you said, Chris Pratt has emerged into this brand new life, and people are taking note of him. Because beforehand, he was like the fellow in Parks and Recreation, which is a very, very funny series, but I don't think it gets the exposure that, you know, something like a movie, you know, gets. And finally, he's making his mark in all these films, and people are taking notice of him.
It's awesome. And he's really good in this as well. He is Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah. He's all Star-Lord.
Yeah, so all these, like, all these actors together, just they work so well. And you've got like only the three of them that were actually there physically, and then you've got Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper doing the voices, but it just blends and works. Like, it's just so well done. And everyone else is just really, really good. Like, Michael Rooker is just his usual charming, awful self.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and it's so good to see him on, like, such a huge movie. And, you know, good on James Gunn for bringing on board some of his previous, you know, people who've been in his movies, what I want to say. Karen Gillan, obviously, is awesome as Nebula.
She killed it!
And it's really good, because I really like her. It's really good to see her in roles after Doctor Who.
And what's also great is that she really does come across as a fearless actress. The fact that she, you know, she was like, yeah, sure, I'll shave off my hair and undergo all this training to play this, this alien bitch character, that takes commitment.
Yeah, so, and it good paid on her. Off big time. And then you've kind of got, like, in smaller roles, you've got, like, John C. Reilly, as I said, Glenn Close, Benicio Del Toro, and the guy whose name I can't pronounce, I can't say his name.
Jaimon Hounsell.
Thank you. Something like that. Who I love to pieces because he's awesome. And, of course, as I mentioned, Josh Brolin's first appearance as Thanos, however you want to say it. And one that you loved was Lee Pace as Ronan.
Yes! Lee Pace is another one of those actors that pops up almost everywhere, but you never really say, hey, that's Lee Pace. It's more like, oh, yeah, that person is great. Yeah. But with Ronan the Accuser, he looks, for one thing, his makeup looks amazing.
It's sick, man.
It is fully sick.
Fully sick, man. Yeah.
And the fact that he carries around this great big hammer, like, you know, this is like bad Thor. Very, very bad Thor. I'm joking when I say that. But everyone in this movie is giving something to do. Nobody outshines the other. They are all on equal ground.
Yeah. And he made for a really interesting and good villain. And you almost forget, because he's, like, he tends to be kind of, like, in makeup and stuff. You tend to forget, like, how attractive he is, just saying.
He tends to disappear into every single one of his characters.
Yeah. So, yeah, everyone is just so good. And, yeah, James Gunn just seriously nailed this movie, like, perfectly.
He should do more comic book movies. That's my assessment.
He should just do a lot more movies, because he's awesome.
He should do all sorts of things.
Like, give him the chance to, like, write it, craft it, direct it. You know, he's awesome. And I might add, he did give a cameo to Lloyd Kaufman. Badass.
Yes, he did.
Yes, and I got so excited when I saw that. And we should add, you know, this movie has a lot of awesome, like, 70s and 80s tunes for the soundtrack. Another, now, like, awesome, just out
that
of
sort of music is the stuff that I grew up around. Like, yeah. My parents would play, like, disco, all those sorts of songs on record, on vinyl. And, yeah, it was just, like, listening to the soundtrack, and I was basically taken back to my childhood. And it just filled me with so much joy to hear all these songs. And now they're probably going to be on the iPad of, like, the younger folks. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting thing they use to, like, connect, like, Peter Quill to Earth, which he hasn't been back to. Because we don't exactly go to Earth in this movie.
No, for the first time in the Marvel Universe, we're not really on Earth, like, on our familiar sort of ground. We're all the way out into the final frontier.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think this movie just has, like, a bit of everything, because you've got, like, it's funny, it's exciting, it's so many things that are going for it, and it just works. It's, like, it's funnier than a lot of comedies. It just works on so many levels. And I think if someone goes and watches this movie and hates it, they seriously have issues, because this is just one of the most likable movies I've seen for a long, long time.
I think part of the reason why it works so much is that it doesn't force these things. It doesn't force the humor, and it doesn't force the characters down your throat.
Yeah, it's all very, very natural. And it just, it boggles my mind that I see people going like, ugh, it looks so crap. Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously? No.
Those people aren't very happy with their lives, and that's why they make everybody else's miserable.
Yeah. This is a movie that will make you happy. It is so much fun. Like, I don't know how someone can walk out of this movie and go, yeah, it was all right. No, it was such a good time. I mean, I can't wait to watch it again. I want to go watch it again now, but it doesn't actually release here because we had advanced screenings over the last 2 days. It doesn't actually start here till Thursday, so there's a bit of waiting to do.
But trust us, it will be worth the wait for everybody.
Yes, because it's so awesome.
Ugh.
Just had to stretch, sorry. Yes, this movie is everything and everything. That's all I can say.
So what is your final rating?
Gosh, 5 out of 5.
Easy. Yeah, my rating is 4 out of 5, just because, I don't know, I want it just a little bit more. I can't really put my finger on what I wanted, but it makes me want to go back and watch it again. So I suppose it really did do its job. 4 out of 5 for me, solid. And who knows, it might become 5 out of 5 on a second screening.
Yeah, I got everything that I wanted out of it. So that's pretty much like why it's, you know, 5 out of 5, because I loved it so much. And this is coming from someone who's like so unfamiliar with, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, if you ask me to say, so who were the original lineup, I'd be like, I have no freaking idea. Who's the new line? I don't know. I guess it's the people in this. I mean, I kind of know, like, a little bit, but nothing substantial. And a massive spoiler, we have to talk about the, like, final end credit scene that showed us a character that I just was smiling about for ages after I saw the movie. We see the Collector after his place has been, like, demolished. Cosmo the dog is licking his face, and we hear this voice going, "You let him lick you like that?" And the camera turns, and it's Howard the fucking Duck, as voiced by Seth Green. I could not be happier to have seen Howard the fucking Duck in a post-credit scene, and I think this is, like, my favourite, like, post-credit scene out of all the Marvel movies.
Howard the Duck gets a second wind.
Yes. Forget the fucking 80s movie. If they, like, have Howard the Duck as they showed him in the end credit scene and put him in, like, the next Guardians movie in some role, or even, like, made him his own, like, smaller movie, I'd be so happy if they, like, did it that way. Because it was awesome. I'm just like, Howard the fucking Duck. Oh, my God.
Now, that's how you use a character.
Yes. It was such a great surprise. Like, I had no idea what to expect, and that was awesome. And, oh, we should add the other credit scene having a regrowing Groot dancing with Batista in the background, oblivious to it all, like, shining up his knife. You got little Groot dancing. Oh, my God, it was so cute. Yeah. Oh, so good. Yeah. Go see his movie and stop being a grumble bum if you don't want to see it because you're weird.
And you'll be hooked on a feeling.
Yes. And high on believing.
That you are in love with this movie.
Yes. Yes. And that wraps up our discussion, review, gushing over Guardians of the Galaxy.
So go and see it. Go and see it. Just don't argue. Go and see it.
Just go see it, and that's it. All right. Until next time, whenever that may be, this has been Marcy, and that has been B.
Toodaloo!
Catch you later, people.
Bye!
I am Groot.